But as I was kind of going over my lesson last night a little bit, and it got me to thinking, because apples and pears are my favorite fruits. And not just any apple. I like Fuji apples. And then pears, I like pears, but I like Bartlett pears. But when I was thinking about the apples last night, anybody ever heard of Johnny Appleseed? Anybody know that that was actually a real person? Yeah. He was a real person. John Chapman was his name. And I thought about, let me come in here this morning. Let me kind of look up Johnny Appleseed. What can I know about him? We're talking about sowing, and we're talking about reaping. We're talking about sowing, and we're talking about harvesting. And so you got Johnny Appleseed. He was born back in like 1774. And his dream was to produce enough apples so that nobody in the world would ever go hungry. That was his dream. Now, you know, legend kind of paints him as this dreamy, wandering. One of the things said that he wore a cast iron kettle as a hat. Come on. That had to have been legend. I don't know anybody's. We've been talking crazy, so maybe it is crazy enough to wear a kettle on top of his head. I don't know. But that's just kind of the legend. But you know, he wasn't this wanderer. He wasn't this dreamy person. He was actually an organized businessman, and he would travel around for a number of years, and he would buy tracts of land. He would develop them and produce thousands of apples off of these tracts of land. Some people say that he was always ahead of the settlement that was moving from the East Coast, moving west back in those days, and always ahead of the settlement, planting apple trees along the path, along the way, so that when people came along, they would have apples to eat from. They would never be hungry. So that was his goal. And he started out when he was 18 years old, and then eventually he went out when he was 20 years old by himself. Initially, he started out with his brother, Nathaniel, but Nathaniel stayed back to help his dad on the farm. And Johnny, he went on out there, and he started moving and planting more apple seeds. But he traveled through Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, all these areas from the East Coast. But and he always carried this leather bag, and it was filled full of apple seeds that he would get from the cider mills. And legend says that, you know, he would plant them, like I said, in the forest, along the railways, roadways, and the streams. But, you know, he soon was known as Johnny Appleseed, the Appleseed Man. And he would visit people. There was never a closed door to him. He would visit people. The husband and the wife, he would be a news carrier for them. And for the kids, he would be a friend. He would be a storyteller for them. And he was also a very religious man. Said that his favorite book was the Bible. And so he would travel around, not only planting seeds, but he would travel around also preaching the word. So this guy was a Christian. Just so you know, Johnny Appleseed was a Christian. But one of the funny things was, it said he rarely ever wore shoes. They said that his feet was so tough, even in the wintertime, he would walk on the ice, and the skin on his feet was so thick, they said that not even a rattlesnake could bite through the skin on his feet. I thought, I'm not going without shoes in the wintertime. I'm not going without shoes, really, period. Now, don't think this is weird, but if you see me in the summertime, and I wear shoes and socks, if I take off my shoes and socks, it looks like I still have socks on because I don't go barefoot. Anyway, but you know, he planted those things, but you know, and then he ended up dying in 1845, I think it was, of pneumonia. And they said that it was the only time he was ever sick. So eat your fruits and vegetables. Anyway, but you know, Johnny, he sowed to the natural and he sowed to the supernatural. He planted apple trees, he developed, fostered friendships, he was a storyteller, but he was also, he sowed the supernatural. He also sowed the word into these people's lives. So not only were they getting the material, the practical things that they needed, but they got the supernatural things to supplement that, which made them overcomers in their lives. So Pastor Hagin has a saying, but I kind of altered it a little bit. Sowing the natural and the supernatural creates an overwhelming force for God. When we're sowing natural things into people's lives, you know what? A lot of times, people don't want to just be preached at all the time. Man, sometimes they're struggling. Sometimes they need a bag of groceries. And if we see they need a bag of groceries and we have what it takes to meet that need and we don't meet that need, the Bible says the love of God's not in you. Whoo! Sometimes they need a bag of groceries before they need anything else. We were working with a mission in Brazil. We went down back in Brazil a number of years ago, and it's called Project Amazon, PAS. And what they do is they built these boats, these diesel engine boats that would go out onto the Amazon River and stop in at these various villages. Now, when they stopped at these various villages, when they went into the village, they didn't go in there, "Thus saith the Lord." They went in there, "Hey, you need some toothpaste? We got some doctors on the boat. Line your kids up. We got some dentists on the boat. Line your kids up. Line yourself up. Let us work on your teeth. Let us give you some medication. Let us give you some whatever it is that you need in the natural." And then after they did that and they were received into the communities, then they had, anybody ever heard of the movie, The Jesus Movie? They set up a big old screen on this diesel boat and they would show the Jesus Movie. And depending on the size of the village, tens and hundreds of people were born again. But they came to him first, sowing into their lives some natural things. And when they sowed those natural things, they reaped a harvest for the kingdom of God. So don't, I'm not going to say don't. I'm not going to ever go beating somebody up with the Bible. You heard the term Bible thumper? I'm not going to be a Bible thumper. Because a lot of times guys that go in there and they're Bible thumpers, they're beating people up with the Word of God, you shut their ears off just like that. Now, there may be a time when the Lord says, okay, this is a dire situation, you need to go in there straight away with the Word. But most of the time, that's not the case. Meet people where they're at, and they're more receptive to receive what it is that God has for them. Like I said earlier, sowing creates a cause and effect. It is the natural course of this life. Genesis 8 said it's the natural course of this life. As long as we're here, there will be seed time and there will be harvest. So whatever you're spending your time and attention in the most, that's what you're going to reap. If you spend all your time playing, see, we got any gamers in the room, any video gamers in the room? There you go. We got at least one. And you know what? I played a lot in my day, too. Now the grandkids want to play video games with me, and I'm thinking, no, you're way better than I am. So you guys go ahead and play, and I'll watch. But whatever it is that you're spending the most of your time in your life, whatever you're giving into, whatever you're sowing the most of your time and your effort and your resources into, that's what you're going to reap. I want to sow most of my time, my energy, my resources into the things of God. And the things of God means reaching down and helping someone up that needs it. The things of this world, the natural things that we can do to help meet somebody's needs, those, you got to look at them this way. Those are tools for the kingdom of God. Those are tools. What do you got? I mean, I just got convicted of something. Isn't it funny how the Holy Spirit works that way? We've got a situation going on here where there's an individual that wants to take some blankets and some water and things like that to, we have a severe homeless problem here in Mattoon, whether you believe it or not. Lots of homeless people here in Mattoon. And I told my wife the other day, and I told my mom yesterday, I'm not saying the Lord is saying to do this, but I want to be willing. I've got this huge blanket. And I'm not kidding. This blanket is from here to that poinsettia away from me. It's huge, super warm. Carrie won't go near it because to her, it raises the temperature in the room about 3,500 degrees. But I love this blanket. It's nice and warm. And it was my dad's blanket who passed away back in 2015. And I said, I won't give that blanket away. That's my dad's. I like it. It's warm. And the Lord just convicted me and said, you better be willing to give that away. And I said, just now I said, okay. 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 I'm convincing myself, just so you know. Okay. But these are tools. These are tools for the kingdom of God. These natural things that we have, they're tools to the kingdom of God. And if you sow these natural things into the kingdom of God, you will reap a harvest. Not only a harvest, the Bible talks about you will reap a generous harvest. Now, when I sow a natural thing into the kingdom of God for some individual that may need that, I'm sowing the natural thing, but I'm also believing that God's inspired it. He's behind it. And when I sow it into that life, He's drawing them closer to Him. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And when we do those are good things. We are ambassadors for Christ. And if we're ambassadors, we represent His interests. But it was my dad's blanket, and my dad passed away in 2015. If I'm representing the King, then everything I have is His. He commands me in whatever it is I have to give away to whoever may need it. Do I use that blanket every day, even in the wintertime? No. It's sitting in a little bench thing, whatever you want to call these things, tucked down in there right now in our living room. I haven't used it this year, but it's my dad's. I can't get rid of it. Yes, I can. I'm willing. So we're going to talk about sowing and reaping today. It's the Christmas time. But this is a year-round principle. This principle of giving, this principle of being generous, it should be our lifestyle. It should be who we are as believers. I can understand if the world's not this way. Sinners, that we call them. Guess what? You sin too. But anyway, moving on. But He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But it's Christmas time. That's why we're in this vein right now. But it's going to be a theme throughout the year because God was a giver. He was a giver. God sowed His Son. He gave His Son. Like I said earlier, my favorite apples are Fuji, and my favorite pears are Bartlett. And if I could plant trees in my yard, these would be the two trees I would plant. I have to be in the mood to eat a banana. Can't eat a banana just, oh, I'd like to have a banana. No, it just doesn't work for me. I got to be in the mood for a banana. And our next door neighbor years ago, Pat Hoke, he had a pear tree in his front yard. And I mean, there's so many pears on this tree, the branches were like, couldn't hold it. And so they fell on the ground. There's pears all over the ground. And even me, I think at the time, I was 26, 27 years old when we moved over in that area there. And I would walk over to his yard and pick pears up off the ground and eat them. I just love pears. Those are my fruits. But you know what? What you plant, what I plant, what he planted a pear tree. He got pears. But what I plant and what you plant, you can expect to receive that fruit. I don't plant seeds, apple seeds or pear seeds, and expect something else. If I plant plants, apples, and I plant pears, that's what I expect to receive. I wrote here, you cannot get certain fruit in an area of your life if you are not sowing that seed in that area of your life. In Galatians chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 7 here. It's New Living Translation. It says here, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, so whatever you put in the ground, whatever it is that you speak out of your mouth, whatever actions that you put forth, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Not something else. That's what you're going to reap. It's a biblical principle. We talked about Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. As long as we're here on the earth, there'll be seed time and harvest. There'll be night and day and all that type of stuff. It's the way it's going to be. So whatever you're going to plant, that's what you're going to reap. You cannot believe in an area you have not sown seed in and expect a harvest in that area. Huh. You know what? If you're not a giver, and just for the sake of this little example, I'm going to talk about money. If you're not a giver, should you have an expectation to be a receiver? Now, we're going to look at that a couple of different ways. Sometimes God can supersede, you know, some things, and he can place some things in your life and whatnot, but it doesn't normally work that way. In Malachi 3:10, I talked about that earlier here today. I don't think I gave him that verse up there. It talks about how we rob God. Well, how are we robbing you? And he says, in your tithes and your offerings. He's telling us to give and to test him in it, to see if he won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you so much that you can't contain it. And then he'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So he's saying, give, sow your tithes and offerings. And then what will you reap? You'll reap open windows. Open windows that he will, not that man will, but that he will pour out on you so much that you can't contain it. I like to give. Because I know there's a harvest coming. But you know what? We give away a lot of money too. So he's going to pour out so much on me that I can't contain it. So if I can't contain it, then I want other people to pick up. Fill up your storehouses also. I don't want to just take this money that he's pouring out on me, put it into my CDs, my IRAs, my 401ks, whatever investment you've got going on, and there's nothing wrong with those. I have those. There's nothing wrong with those. But you know what? If you've got what it takes to meet someone's need, you need to sow that seed into their life. Financial, groceries, whatever it may be, you need to sow that into their lives. There may be some of us, that many of us, talking about some other sowing. Anybody like having friends? Isn't it fun to have friends? I like having friends. Carrie's not my friend, she's my wife. But anyway, but I like her better than my friends. Some people say my wife is my best friend. No, she's my wife. Because we can talk about covenant, and we can talk about, we won't go there this morning. But anyway, but we like friends. People like to have friends. But are you friendly? Huh. Do you say hello when the opportunity arises? Do you try to strike up a conversation with somebody that you maybe, when we were up at Faith Fellowship, we would be singing on the stage there, and I'd tell Carrie, let's stop here, and let's wait just for a second. Who's the Lord going to lead us to go out into the congregation to go up and say hi to that morning? We never went to the same person. We always say, okay, Lord, who is it do you want me to go ahead and say hi to this morning? Being friendly. We're sowing that. And when we're sowing, when you're being friendly, when you're saying hello, and you're sowing those things into people's lives, expect to receive from that. Nobody likes being around somebody who's sour and grumpy all the time. Nobody likes being around somebody who has a long look on their face all the time. Nobody likes being around somebody when you say hi to them, they go, Even in your own house. Anyway, moving on. So you can't, another area here. You can't get fruit in the area of your marriage. Oh. If you're not sowing good seed in the area of your marriage. You know, saying good things about your spouse around other people. Y'all heard me say things, good things about her last Sunday. And when I would go to work, I would talk about, man, I look forward to going home every night. They say, you do? Why? That's crazy. Look forward to going home to your wife every night? Yeah. Is everything perfect in our lives? She will tell you that I'm perfect, but anyway, is everything perfect in our lives? No. But I still look forward to going home to her. I talked to you last week. I said, you know, we had an individual said that they'll find no guile in her. And what did the word guile mean? It means you'll find no deceit in her. She won't try to deceive you. Matter of fact, she's too there's no such thing as too honest, but she's that. She's not going to talk out of both sides of her mouth. Hey, how you doing? Oh, it's just so great to see you. I'm so glad to be here. Man, I'm glad they quit talking. I had to get away from that. No, she's not going to be that person. And because she has sown that, that's something practical that she's sown into someone's life, people say they like being around her. It's fun. It's pleasant. It's peaceful. Carrie and I can ride in the car, sit in the house, and not say a word, and I just feel comfortable. Just peaceful being in the house, being in the car. You want good fruit in your marriage? Are you actually speaking good things to your spouse? Oh. Are we all guilty of that? And I'm not talking about husbands only. Wives, this goes both ways. Are we speaking good things, loving things to our spouses? Do I do it every day? No, I'm not perfect at it. I just spoke a few words here just now, so take that for the next 3 days. Work on that for the next 3 days. Anyway, now, if you want fruit in your marriage, you want to harvest a blessing in your marriage, start speaking good things to your wife. Showing her respect, show respect to your spouse. Holding their hand as you walk into Walmart. That's sowing. Doing the dishes. Vacuuming the carpets. Those things that I just mentioned right there, those are seeds. And when you plant those seeds, you can expect a harvest in your marriage. What the harvest looks like, I don't know. But you can expect a harvest in your marriage. Man, I just got to tell you, the Lord just paused me here. Last week, none of you knew this. I was standing up here. My voice was going. I was dizzy. I was holding onto the pulpit here and trying not to fall down. That was going on last Sunday. He just reminded me, you're not doing that this week. I know I'm not because I believe God is my healer. I sow the word into that situation. Now I'm reaping health. I feel great this morning. I mean, before we get done here, two or three of us are going to run around this sanctuary. I'll run and I'll grab you and we'll all go. Anyway. But in 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to get my sermon title up here on the screen in a minute. I totally blew past that. We'll get the Ezra Project up here maybe at the end of the service. I totally blew past that. But that's okay. 1 Peter chapter 3. Talking about husbands and wives. And this is the last thing I'm going to say. We're not going to beat on each other for a long time. It says, in the same way, I'm talking to husbands now. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Honor, that's a seed. Give honor, plant the seed of honor towards your wife. Treat your wives with understanding. That's seed. Plant the seed of understanding toward your wife. As you live together, she may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. Yikes. If you're not giving your wife honor, if you're not treating her with understanding, the Bible says, if you're not sowing those seeds, then the Bible's saying that you're not going to reap a harvest of answered prayer. Does it say that? Is that what we just read? If you're not giving her honor, if you're not treating her with understanding as a fellow heir to salvation, then it says here that your prayers aren't going to be answered. Your prayers will be hindered. So if we want a overflowing, whatever you want to call it, type of marriage, then we need to speak good things about our wife, speak good things to our wives, give our wives honor, give our wives understanding. And not only that, we give them honor and understanding. We show respect to them. We hold their hand. We vacuum the carpet. We wash the dishes. We do all these things. I had a minister one time said, you need to make it your point, your goal, to outserve your wife. Whoo! Anybody outserve their wife? I haven't done it yet in the last couple of months. I was sitting in the living room last night. I tried some of the blueberry jelly on a piece of toast, and I had a plate there. And I set it on this little tray there next to my chair. And she walks by me and she goes, oh, are you done with this? Grabs my plate. I use paper plates, just so you know. I like paper plates, just so you know. Takes my paper plate and throws it in the garbage for me. I heard one amen or something back there in the back. But you know what? She's sowing seed. She's sowing seed. If we look further up in that chapter there, 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about the wife giving honor and respect to her husband, even if he doesn't obey the word. But by her behavior, she'll win him. Whoo! Let's talk about your health. This is something the Lord dealt with me with here back in April of this year. If you're not sowing good seed in the area of your health, how can you expect to reap, to harvest good health? I mean, we were eating here something the other day, and it was extremely salty. It was extremely salty because we haven't been putting much salt on anything. And so we noticed that. So getting rid of salty things out of our diet, more exercise, more water. I had the doctor told me here not long ago, because you go get the checkups, whatever. Rick, you need to be drinking about 80 ounces of liquid a day. 80 ounces? I can barely drink 24 ounces of water. Well, they included all liquids, but drinking more things. But if I want to reap the harvest of good health, then I need to be sowing things in that area. I'll do that later. Okay. Joshua chapter 1. Like I said, God can supersede some of this stuff. He can act upon in our lives when we just don't know any better, and he knows we need help. He can jump over. He can do that, but it's not normally the way it happens. The biblical principle is, as long as we're on this earth, there'll be seed time, there'll be sowing, and there'll be harvest. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I said on Wednesday night, you know, some people say, oh, I'm just preaching to the choir. You've heard that verse before. And I said, that's a lie of the devil. He doesn't want you to read that verse, because he knows that the Bible is progressive revelation. And when you read something, you may have heard it one way one time, you read it again, and God reveals something else to you the next time. So I don't care if you've heard this verse 40,000 times. I'm going to read it again, so that even when Rick is dead and gone, people in this town will still remember. Rick's favorite verse was 1 John 5:14 and 15 and Joshua 1:8. Says here, New Living Translation, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So where's the seed and where's the harvest in this? Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. Plant the seed. If you want to be prosperous and you want to succeed in all you do, you put the book in front of your face, you read it, you meditate on it, you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal some things to you, and He will. There's not anything that we're going through in life that the answer for it's not in the Word of God. So the seed, if we're part of the seed is here, we're meditating on this book of instruction. We're continually reading this. We're continually studying this book of instruction. And then, oh, here's another seed here. It says here, 90 days, so you will be sure to obey everything in it. Ooh, there's some more seed. So you study it, that's seed. You obey it, that's seed. And when you obey the Word of God, you reap what the Word of God says, the promises that's in the Word of God for your life. So study it, meditate on it, read it, and then act upon it, and then you'll reap a harvest. So he gives us principles, but sometimes, you know, he'll pop in and out. He'll do certain things, but that's not always the case. He gives us instructions. And if we look at the Word and we realize there's instructions, if I do this, then this will happen. If I believe this, then if I trust God, if I have faith in God, because that's all faith is, a trust in God to do what he said he would do, then this is what's going to happen. In Luke chapter 6, and in verse 37 is where we're going to start. It says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That word judge. I mean, there's certain things that we do judge. The Bible talks about judging, but this is talking about in a negative way. So judging in a negative way is to express a bad opinion of someone's behavior, often because you think you are better than they are. Woo! Yikes. So if you sow this type of judgment, if that's what you're sowing, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap that same thing back. Ouch. If you sow condemnation, talks about that in this verse here, what will you reap? Condemnation. But if you sow forgiveness, even if you think they don't deserve it, even if they've hurt you to the extreme and you forgive anyway, oh gosh, the Bible talks about Mark 11, 25. We like Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, but we skip over Mark 11, 25. If you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you your trespasses. Ouch. So it's good to forgive because we all like to be forgiven. I like to be forgiven. So if you sow forgiveness, you'll reap forgiveness. If you're giving, you will, whatever you're giving in an area, you'll reap in that area. You know, some people wonder why they never receive in a certain area. Well, I do this. I've got this always going on in my life. It's because they're not sowers or givers in that area. Once again, Galatians 6, 7, for whatever a man or woman sows, that he will also reap. Talking about tithing. We talked about tithing here this morning. It's investment time. Investment in the kingdom. I paid my tithes. Well, number one, when you say it like that, it's like, I just paid another bill. It's not a bill. You know, if it's a bill, you know, the mail comes and somebody asks you, what we get in the mail today? Well, we just got a bunch of bills. That's how you respond when you look at it like that. But to me, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me to give financially into the kingdom of God. And not just give into the kingdom of God. I like what it said back over here in Luke chapter 6. It says that, you know, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. I'll open up the windows of heaven. So I'll pour out a blessing on you so much you can't contain it. And then I'll make more. And I'll keep making more. God is a God of more. But he's not a God of more that we just consume it on ourselves. It's okay to have a bank account. It's okay to have investments. It's okay to have a full refrigerator. And I thank the Zabkas and Vi for the full refrigerator that we have right now. And I've already had some. But you sow things like that, you'll reap things like that. In 2 Corinthians 9. And we're going to look at verse 7. Talking about giving. Now you can apply it to money, or you can apply it to a lot of different things. But it says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. You must each decide in your heart how much seed to give, how much seed to plant. And don't give reluctantly. Don't give your seed reluctantly. I guarantee you, when a farmer plants corn, he doesn't plant every other. He's getting as much as he can in the ground because he wants to reap a huge harvest. Matter of fact, the farmers plant too much seed in the ground. Because when you are on a country road, you pull up to a stop sign and you got to put the nose of that car practically out into the middle of the intersection to see around the 10-foot stalks of corn. Guys, can you just back it up about three or four rows? No, I'm happy for the farmers. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, gives his seed cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. When you sow your seed and you give it, and you don't give it reluctantly, and you give it cheerfully, then here comes the harvest. God will generously provide all you need. How much is all? All. There we go. Nothing left out. Not lacking in any area. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Want for what? Want for anything. But you know what? Sometimes he uses people. Sometimes he'll use Carrie and I. And we'll draw out a bag of groceries, a bottle of water, a case of water, a handful of money, whatever it may be. Whatever he tells us to do, that's what we do. And we're going to give it cheerfully, and we're going to give it, and not going to give it reluctantly. And we know that when we sow in that form, in that fashion, then we're going to reap a harvest from God generously. He'll give us a generous harvest in order for us to be able to go plant more seed. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Let's don't be tight-fisted in the things of God. Whether it's a word, whether it's the word of God, whether it's something physical, whether it's groceries, whether it's money, whether it's somebody who needs encouragement, somebody who's down on their whatever, they need joy in their life, they need a friend, whatever it may be, sow those things into people's lives. And don't let it just be at Christmas time when you hear the little bell ringing at the red kettle. Don't let that be the reminder. Let the word of God be your reminder that, man, I'm an imitator of God. And God gave. He gave big. If he didn't give big, you wouldn't be sitting here today. You wouldn't be sitting here today. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Who wants to be in that position? If you want to be in that position, then you got to be a giver. Now, I know preachers have been guilty of saying, meaning a giver, that you got to give all your money away. That's part of it. Give not all of it away. But giving money is part of it. But that's not the only thing. When I had that blueberry jelly last night on a piece of toast, she gave me a smile. She gave my taste buds an awakening. She gave in that area, and she gave 81 jars of jelly, just so you know. Hallelujah. I praise God for Carrie and Ed. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's okay. Woo! Don't mean to embarrass you, but you honor where honor is due. Another example of sowing and reaping. Principle, Proverbs chapter 11. we're going to look at verse 24. When we're obedient to give the way the Word says, the way God says, then we'll receive the way that the Word says, the way that God says. And it says that we'll receive generously, so that we'll have all that we need to help other people too. Anybody like, man, when I help other people, I'm happy. I got an opportunity to help on Thursday night. Many of you may not know, maybe you do know, Wanda White. Looks like she had to go prepare some casket sprays. They've been busy, super busy this week with flowers. But she just walked out. Maybe it's something I said. No, I'm just kidding. But I got the opportunity. I went over. They asked me if I'd come over and help them. They're moving these big 4-foot by 8-foot panels off the wall that you would hang shelves on, and they're pretty heavy. And so they're moving their flower shop from its current location across town. So I went over there with Matt and Tony, I believe his name is, and we hung these four panels up on the wall. Now, I'm sure Kat is this way, but if the corners didn't match up just right, we'd have to take them down and start all over again. But we made sure the corners matched up just right. So I got an opportunity to help. I got an opportunity to sew some physical labor into a project. So now I believe that because I sowed some physical labor into a project, if I have a project where I need some physical labor, because I sown that, God's going to give back to me generously in all that I need to help complete the project that I'm working on. I've had a couple of guys here just in this last week. And I don't mind doing this. I hope you guys don't mind. Ed Sotomayor and Dave Bowen. Those guys helped me big time this last week. Big time this last week. And I believe, honestly, it's because they have a heart to help. But I also believe it's because I've sown. And the principles of seed time and harvest remain as long as we're here on this earth. And so they helped me big time this last week. Saved this church hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. Just so you know. I like to be a good steward of this church's money. I will not spend something frivolously, needlessly. Carrie will tell you that. Where did I learn that from? Carrie. We've had a budget for 40 years of marriage, and she had one even before that. If she were tithing and her check was $167, she gave $16.70. She made sure that it was done all the time, and we're still like that. But in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, it says, give freely, sow seed, give freely, and become more wealthy. Ooh. So if you give freely, you give cheerfully, you don't give reluctantly. It's the Bible. This is the Bible. This isn't written. And you'll become more wealthy. Now, does it mean you'll become more wealthy financially? Yes. Does it mean you'll become more wealthy friendship-wise? Yes. Does it mean you'll become more friendly peace-wise? Yes. The things that you're sowing are the things that you're going to reap. And we don't want to be selfish in our Christian walk. The Christians. What's Christian mean? To be Christ-like. What was Christ like? He gave. He went around healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, gave of himself all the time. We're to be givers. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy, and lose everything. So you can sow seed of stinginess. And lose everything. The generous will prosper. So now we're reaping. So when you gave freely, you'll prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Do you see what the Bible's trying to say here? If you line up with the Word and do what it says, you're going to reap in those areas. Come on, church. This should be shouting ground right now. Man, I want to do what the Bible says. I want to reap what the Bible says. I want to have an overabundance like the Bible says so that I can help more people. And so I can go to Maine and eat lobster on the dock after I pulled it out of a pot from the Atlantic Ocean for the first time. Carrie and I, when we were living in Colorado, we moved out there in 1984. We had just gotten married, and the night before we got married, my best man goes to Carrie and says, "Oh, I hear you guys are moving to Colorado." And she goes, "We are?" I hadn't told her yet, and it's the night before we were getting married that I got a transfer to Colorado. And like the obedient and loving wife that she is, she packed her bags. We moved to Colorado. We pull into this brand new apartment complex. Nice. We pull up to the in the driveway there, and she starts crying. "There's no trees." Well, of course not. It's a brand new complex. But, you know, I did spring it on her the night before we got married. And then we went on a 10-day honeymoon, and after that, I was living in Colorado while she was still back here in Illinois getting stuff ready to go. But it was probably a good thing because in the first year of our marriage, we had no family or outside influences. It was just us learning one another. And that's good. We don't need, a lot of times, we don't need meddlers, especially when you're first married. Establish yourself. But we were in Colorado, and we were a part of a church back here in Illinois, and they just bought some TV equipment. Matter of fact, you'll probably never find it, but there is old VHS and I think some DVD of me on a music video program with two other guys, and I was the funny guy. Hiding behind trees. Anybody ever watch Laugh In? That guy with the little helmet, and he'd hide behind the trees and say, "This is very interesting." Well, that was me. I was that guy. So those will never surface. So just so you know, Carrie, those will never surface. But we're out there. They just bought this TV equipment, and Carrie and I, she'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. We were sending back to Illinois $1,000 a month to help pay for this TV equipment. And we didn't lack. We still had money left over. We would give in to this one missionary. And at the time, she said, "Well, we really don't have money to be given to this missionary." I said, "Well, I believe we're supposed to." So we started giving to this missionary. We never saw lack. We were sowing seed with the video equipment into the kingdom of God and with these missionaries in the Amazon jungle into the kingdom of God. And we never lacked. Never missed a bill. But you know what? Sometimes, and I am going to land this plane here in about 3 or 4 minutes, but you don't have to come up here, Carrie. Sometimes it's not those physical things. Sometimes it's advice. I had some people sow some advice into my life early on. Years ago, I was thinking about going into the ministry, going to Bible college, and went on a trip out to Oklahoma to Winter Bible Seminar. And riding in the van, there's me and three other guys, and Kevin Ashby was with us. And he says, "You know, Rick, this is advice." He's sowing advice into my life. He said, if God isn't telling you, if there isn't an urgency for you to go to Bible college right now, then don't go. Stay where you're at." I was working for the prison at the time. "Stay where you're at and continue to make your living there. And if you retire from there and you go to Bible college, it makes it a whole lot easier. You can devote 100% of your time to your studies and service at the college." And so I got some advice. And I never over the years had a strong unction, urging, or whatever to take off to Bible college. And so I stayed at the prison, and I retired from the prison. Carrie retired from the school district. We went to Bible college. And because of that advice, we were able to sow into the ministry. We volunteered a lot. I mean, we had a limit. We knew that we couldn't do one more thing. We're at our limit. But we continued to sow into that ministry. Well, if he hadn't sown that advice into me all those years ago, I wouldn't have been able to reap the way that I did when I was at Bible college. Yeah. And when we were at Bible college, we sowed a lot there. And now that we're here, we're reaping from what we sowed out there. As long as we're here on this earth, there will always be seed time and there will always be harvest. What are you sowing right now? What are you sowing in your? What are you sowing into your own life today? Are you sowing, well, I got to get up and go make the donuts. Go make the donuts, come home, eat supper, go to bed. Well, I got to get up and go make the donuts. That's okay to make donuts. You're sowing donuts into somebody's life and they're happy you are. Especially Bismarck's. The jelly filled with the white icing. Or chocolate on chocolate, somebody else here likes. Don't eat too many though. It's okay to do it in moderation. But there'll always be seed time and harvest. I had another minister of mine. We're going to be done in 3 minutes. Another minister friend of mine. This church had approached me years ago about taking over the church. It was my home church. It was a Baptist church. And they were offering me, you look at it financially, they were offering, giving us a house. A ranch style with a walkout basement. The only bill I would ever pay would be my phone bill. Wouldn't have to pay anything else. And I got a salary on top of that, plus our two retirement salaries. But financially, to look at it, it looked good. But I knew I wasn't supposed to be there. But I talked to this minister about it. And another person was telling me, because we were at another church for 29 years, this other minister told me, he said, you can't leave there. You're his right-hand man. You have to stay here. And they were serious about that. So I talked to this other minister here, and he gave me some advice. You know, if you leave, God will raise somebody else up. Well, we didn't leave. We stayed there. And we continued to sow into that ministry. Till the day we left, I taught out of In Search of Timothy from February to June every Wednesday night before we left. And when we did that, there were individuals that came up to me after the fact, after that was taught, and they said, you know what, Rick, we need to start stepping up around here. So when we did end up leaving that church and going to Bible college, every spot that we volunteered in, every spot was filled. They didn't lack in any way. I sowed the word into them. The preacher, Pastor Kim, he was believing. And when we left, God met it. And he still, and they're still flourishing in those areas. So we just believe that whatever we sow, as long as we're here on the earth, there will always be seed time and harvest. I've got a bunch more, but we're gonna stop here in just a second. But I just wanted us to get the idea. We're going to talk one more week kind of along this lines. And then I think next week I'm going to introduce some things that 2025, that this church is going to be doing in 2025. And one of the ministries that we're going to be, I've already named it. Lord told me to name it this way. It's a verse out of the Bible. And it'll be LPC, the least of these. We've been going through some things here recently, helping some people. That would be considered, when Jesus said, when you've done it unto me, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And we're going to be a helping church. We're going to be a beacon in this community. And we're going to talk about some of those things next week that we're going to be doing as a church. And I've said it before, I don't care if you are 4 or 94. As long as you have breath in your body, you're in business of advancing the kingdom of God. I don't care if, I don't think they do this anymore, whether it's licking stamps or whether it's answering a telephone, you've got something to do for the kingdom of God. If it's buying a case of water, if it's purchasing a blanket or donating a blanket, you've got something to sow into the kingdom of God. And we're going to be a church that sows this next year. And we're going to be sowing not only the natural things, but we're going to be sowing the supernatural things. We're going to be sowing the Word of God, and then we're going to have signs and wonders along with the Word of God, accompanying the Word of God. And it's not just going to be inside this building. It's going to be outside this building where these things are going to be happening. It's going to be the dinner bell to the kingdom of God. Father, I just thank you for your word today, and I thank you that it's true. I thank you that you are a God who loves us. I thank you that you are a God who's always there for us. You said you'd never leave us. You said you'd never forsake us. And Father, this principle of seed time and harvest. Father, we know that if we give and we give, don't give reluctantly. If we give cheerfully, you say in your word that you'll supply everything that we need generously, that we'll not lack in any area. So generously that we'll be able to continue to share with others. So Father, help us to get that on the inside of us. That it's not just a seasonal thing. around holidays that we think about other people, but that we become imitators of God, who was the ultimate giver to begin with, that he gave his one and only son for us. And so, Father, as we leave this place today, we know that we don't leave you here. We know that your Holy Spirit goes with us, leading us and guiding us, speaking to us and showing us things to come. Father, I thank you for supernatural wisdom. I thank you for creative ideas to be able to sow seed into people's lives in and outside of these four walls, so that we can be beacons, ambassadors, people leading the way to draw people into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.